Arizona. This is the second hour of Spingola Speaks. Our guest today is Carl Rattle, the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com, where you will find amazing, amazing articles. Please go there and read them. All righty.
Oh, yes, sir.
So pick it up okay. where you left off.
Talking where about I left off.
Iran and
Iran,
Israel.
Yeah, Israel. If this is where all this hubbub about Israel and Iran comes from. They had this deal. It's called Project Savor, as I said. What the logic was behind it was very, very simply. Israel would provide the know-how. Iran would provide the money. Because Iran was money rich, Israel was technology rich. Because Israel had taken a lot of technology from the United States to build up its own military. Okay. So what then happened was over the years you had a large facility growing up in Iran, in near Tehran, built with basically Israeli personnel in it and so forth, where they were building they're supposedly going to give Iran rocket potential, ICBMs and so forth. The Israelis, however, when 1979 came around and the Shah was deposed, the day before, Israel evacuated all its personnel and quite a few major players in the Iranian regime, or the Shah, I should say, and with them, they took an awful lot of money. Now, one estimate I've read from the Israeli journalist Ronan Bergman in his The Secret War with Iran 2008 was they took over $100 billion with them.
Oh,
now that's a lot
gosh.
In 1979. How much is that today? Trillions, easily. And there's an interesting quote from Yaakov Shapiro, the defense ministry official who was in charge of these negotiations. What he said was very, very simple. In Iran, they treated us like kings. We did business with them on a stunning scale. Without the ties with Iran, we would not have had the money to develop weaponry that is today in the front line of the defense of Israel. Now, what weaponry is that? Very, very simply, that weaponry is most likely nukes. Why? Why would it suggest nukes? Well, look at when Israel's stockpile suddenly increased. Just after the Iranian cooperation. That suggests the money the Israel was getting was being plowed into a nuclear program to build big nukes, and lots of them, in order to be acted as a deterrent. Another interesting little aspect of this particular episode in history is something Bergman says. He says, very, very simply, a very senior source in the Israeli Ministry of Defense reveals that the weapons deal with Iran was fraudulent. With each of the six joint projects, the Israelis plan to deceive the Iranians by providing them only an outdated version of the weapon in question, while using the Iranian money to build a new generation for Israel's exclusive use. In other words, the Israelis were conning Iran. And even to this day, the Iranians have a lawsuit with Israel. It's been going on since 1979 over this particular project, because the Iranians, quite justifiably, want their money back. And you can understand why. It's just this aspect of Israeli history that all of a sudden, that's when their nuclear program really took off, but it got a massive boost in the late 1980s because German intelligence reports, and they're backed up by the CIA and other people, suggested that over between 20 and 40 Soviet Jewish scientists who were specialists in nuclear physics and have been involved in the Soviet's own nuclear programs went to Israel. Now, isn't that just a little bit coincidental that all of a sudden, the Israelis in the 1970s don't have maybe a small nuclear capacity?
Yeah, that is fascinating. Oh, I hate to take a break, but we do have to. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Herbal Healer Spring Sale. 500 parts per million colloidal silver, all sizes. COQ10 with hawthorn, glucosamine chondroitin, sea cucumber, colloidal minerals, Superfam, and Super Male Plex. Colon Enhancer, our top-selling liquid. Cow Mag Vitamin D. MSM Sulfur Capsules, and Elderberry Power Capsules. We also offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Free memberships and free online newsletters also available at herbalhealer.com. Herbal Healer has been serving the natural medicine industry for 25 years. This is a company you can count on. Visit herbalhealer.com today. Herbalhealer.com. That's herbalhealer.com.
As many of you know, natural supplements are fantastic for your body and have zero side effects. You need to restore your body's natural balance. Theravim strives to carry only the highest quality dietary supplements and natural vitamins that can be beneficial in helping your body recover from the impact of daily stress, allergens, illness, environmental pollution, and the aging process. Why buy from Theravim? Simple. Theravim provides a rewards program. Earn $1 for every $10 spent, free health consultations, free shipping on all orders, and an additional 10% discount on every order when you mention the coupon code RBN. Call 866-647-4372. That's 866-647-4372, or go to Theravim.com. That's TERRAVIM.com. Theravim, the best supplements on earth.
Now more than ever, killing many viruses and bacteria in our homes and at work is important. With the flu epidemic running rampant, you need to protect yourself and your family the best you can with purified air. Our air purifiers not only kill many viruses and bacteria in the air, but on surfaces too. Our air purifiers will also kill molds, fungi, mildew, oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases, removes dust, pollen, pet odors, and smoke. We have portable units, HVAC and industrial size units. In our homes today, protect your family the best you can by calling 1-877-605-9200 or go to our online store at republicbroadcasting.org. Call today to receive your 10% off and free shipping on any home unit. 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. So you're telling us that there are multiple reasons why Israel wants to attack Iran.
Oh, yes, because, well, Iran, for many facts, it's a convenient target, but it's also the fact that Israel, historically, its doctrine anyway, is to disrupt the Middle East or have, shall we say, client states or states that it can do business with in power. So people like Mubarak in Egypt, people who would encourage, you know, anti-Semitism on television, anti-Judaism and so forth, but won't do anything about it. So they'll quietly deal with the Israelis behind the scenes. The Bashar al-Assad is another good example. That border has been quiet for 30 years. But all of a sudden, it's gotten hot again because of the fact that they've got this rebellion going on now, which is obviously with a lot of external support. But the fact remains that Israel's doctrine with Iran is very simple. They're after Iran breaking down or being with a state they can do business with. Because Iran has visions of itself as a regional power. Because it's a regional power, and it potentially could become nuclear, despite all the things that have been said about it, if it did become nuclear, that poses a threat to Israel. It doesn't pose a threat to the United States, because there's lots of powers in the world that are nuclear, that don't like the United States. For example, China, Russia, North Korea. But why is Israel so focused on Iran? Because Israel's traditional superiority is built on its conventional forces, being vastly technologically a lot better than its enemies, because its enemies, for lack of a better term, don't have the money and don't have the contacts to get the kind of equipment that the Israelis can procure by spying, by espionage, by just simply buying it, or by using lobbies to get that information sent to Israel as, in quotes, a strategic partner. The same applied to the USSR, but the USSR used traditional methods, as in conventional spying, which didn't work in the long term, although it did work in the short term, because that is how the Soviet bomb came to be. The interesting thing is that Syria today is really a proxy war between the US stroke Israel, who want the Free Syrian Army to succeed, or Bashar al-Assad to remain in power. One of those two. The preferred is the Free Syrian Army succeed and the Free Syrian Army becomes, in quotes, a democratic state or whatever, or becomes a dictatorship that will do business with Israel and so forth. The jihadis are a completely different proposition because they, if we remember, are the ones who have just been fighting in Tunisia, in Libya, and so forth. And I've read a point today which I thought was very, 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 very apposite one, which is very simply that, hang on a minute, didn't Gaddafi have chemical weapons? So we've been hearing the news all lately about these reports of chemical weapons being used in Syria.
Well, sure.
Why do we assume it's anything to do with it with the Syrian government? There's no reason to assume it's anything to do with the Syrian government. It could very well be, and I'd say even is more likely to be, the rebels who want to get Westerners involved, because if they don't, they're in for a very, very long war, which they could potentially lose.
All you have to do is bring up chemical weapons, and people just think coerce, and they're willing to go along with this.
Well, that's what they're trying to do, and it's failing, interestingly enough. Because there's an opinion poll out today, actually, I think it was today, it was by the Pew Center, which said very, very simply that no one wants this war. And yet, the media, in general, has been trumpeting it constantly. They've been saying, yes, there's a war, the Syrians want to overthrow Bashar al-Assad, and so forth. All of a sudden, people are saying, well, you know, we don't want that. We don't want to get involved in Syria because we know what happens. It turns into a horrendous mix-up, and we spend 10, 12 years in there. We have thousands, we lose thousands of people. We spend billions upon billions trying to rebuild a country, and then the country just falls apart, like Iraq is currently doing. And an interesting little thing that I really haven't seen many people comment on is the fact that who is supporting Bashar al-Assad at the moment? Iraq. Now, hang on a minute. It doesn't make sense in the sense of you've got these people and they're all supporting each other, if you like, and people are beginning to pick sides. And it doesn't make any sense to just pigeonhole Bashar al-Assad. I mean, some of the best reporting on this entire conference has come from Russia. And this is it all, really. If the Russians, and the Russians are the partisans of Bashar al-Assad, but at the same time, they've been fairly neutral about the fact, yes, he's done some horrible things, which nobody disputes. But he isn't the epitome of evil, and he isn't, and he's probably a lot better than the people of the Al-Nusra Front, or that people like that. It's just this ongoing struggle. It's basically become a proxy war between Iran, Russia, and China, and so forth, and Israel, and the US, and so forth, who are arming different factions and hoping their faction wins. It's become a new Afghanistan, almost.
Right. What a shame.
It's horrific. I mean, you think about it. You've seen some of the photos of the people. And only the other day, the Syrian government had cordoned off a center of the city for their own protection of their own people, people who were loyal to them. And there's a car bomb in the middle of it. And, you know, that kills people. And it's horrible. Look at some of the photos. And from both sides, you look at it and just go, it's horrific what's going on over there at the moment. And there's all these cheerleaders going on around Europe, around the US and Canada, who are just calling, we should get involved. Why? We cannot get involved supporting rebels, because who are the rebels? They're people who quite frankly, probably want to kill us.
Right.
But, you know, they want to kill us, but, I mean, quite frankly, you know, where do they come from? They come from Libya. They come from places like that. How have they got where they've got? Well, that's, your guess is as good as mine. Probably there's people who are there who there's probably an entire transport network there. It could break up if they wanted to, but they don't want to. It's becoming almost like it's becoming horrendous. And it's quite distressing, I think, in many respects when you look at it.
Yes.
What's happening. But yes, it's part of this proxy war. And if Israel had stopped causing, if Israel had not been doing everything it's been doing for the last 10 years, this would not have happened. There may have been a revolution, there may have been loss of life, but it wouldn't have been an all-out civil war, and you wouldn't have the support solidifying behind both sides, and in many respects, Israel is the problem. Because without Israel, there would be no Bashar al-Assad, there would be no jihadist movement, because what fundamentally drives these people is what Israel have done. And you read their literature, you find it time and time again. Israel. Israel, Israel, Israel. What they've done to Palestinians, what they've done to everyone else. And the interesting confluence of jihadist ideology is the fact that jihadist ideology enjoys any prominence after a specific time, 1982. 1982 is interesting because when that particular year saw the invasion of Lebanon by Israel. Very simply, that sparked the end of Arab nationalism, Baathism, aka the Syrian government's official ideology and its promise to the Arabs. And with that, very simply, the jihadists stepped into the frame, particularly with the war in Afghanistan going on, with that being the new, you know, course celeb and so forth. It just became basically it's a horrendous situation to be in. And it all dates back, as I said, to what Jews were propagating in the First World War in the Islamic lands to help both sides in that war. And then what Israel has been doing since, 1948. And it's increasing, it's very hard to describe it anything other than genocide of the Palestinians. Because I've tried to see it another way. I've tried to see it in the way the Israelis try to spin it, but I can't understand for the life of me how anyone can describe it as anything other than genocide. Because it's blatantly obvious what the Israelis are doing, why they're doing it. It's in Zionist ideology from the get-go, that they've got to displace these people, they've got to do something about them. They won't move, so what do you do about them? Kill them. Very simply.
Well, isn't it also the Jewish exploitation of Christianity, the supposed commonality that they may have with Christianity that has gotten so many of the Christians, so-called Christians in this country to support Israel against the Palestinians?
Yes. Because the Jews are very, very good at saying, well, I'm Jewish. Therefore, because I'm, of the same people as Jesus, I know Christianity better than you. Or I'm Jewish because I'm Jewish, therefore I'm a better Christian than you are. It's a kind of Animal Farm type scenario of we're all equal, but Jewish Christians are more equal than others.
Right.
You often read it in Jewish material, actually, or certainly, for example, Sarah Cohen's Costa Roots, the very famous quote in there from, I don't know how true it is, considering it was from memory from her, you're very special blood because you're Jewish. And I don't see how any Christian could say that. I really don't. But yeah, this kind of Christian Zionist sort of confluence of ideological terms is born out of necessity, really. Them,
right.
Both. Okay.
Oh, goodness. All right, we're going to a break and we'll take some calls when we return. I'll be right back in 3 minutes.
Ground beef, eggs, butter, cheese, soup, sandwiches, strawberries, ice cream, coffee, and more. What do these foods have in common? They all come in storable, long shelf life food for you to save and use in uncertain times. Rather, if it is a meal or a snack for a family or just yourself, CampingSurvival.com offers a huge variety of storable food for you to be prepared anytime. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order all your food. Eat today, save it for tomorrow, or store it for years to come. CampingSurvival.com sells healthy, nutritious, storable food in number 10 cans and pouches. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. Remember, save 5% off with code FREEDOM at CampingSurvival.com on all your prepared food needs.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest is Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And we do have some callers lining up. Should we take a call?
Yeah, please do.
All right. Let's take Sherry in Kansas. Welcome to the program, Sherry.
Hi, Deanna. Hi, Carl. Carl, I always enjoy when you're on. I did know that deal, what you had just said about Iran at the time of the revolution. That's really interesting. Deanna, William Engdahl had an article in Veterans Today back in November of last year and about why this war with Syria, and about a third of the way in the article, it was called, it was about Syria and natural gas, and it seems that Syria signed a pact with Iran and Iraq to put a pipeline from Iran through Syria, through Iraq, to come out on the Mediterranean side, so they could sell oil or sell natural gas to Europe, because that's the clean energy. Well, Qatar owns half of this natural gas field, and Iran owns the other half, and they're not going to benefit from that pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, Syria's discovered some natural gas field of their own. Well, also, there's a natural gas field that Israel is using off the coast of Gaza,
yep.
you know, that they're supplying themselves with their natural gas now, and they want to sell to Europe, too.
Yep.
So, you know.
It's quite. Yeah. I understand. I know what you're getting at. It's the economic argument. And it's quite true, this. I wasn't actually aware of the pipeline, but I was aware that they were all competing on the natural gas thing.
Yeah.
And Mr.
Engdahl, he really keeps up on that. He's a go-to guy for gas and oil, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because who backs Iran and Syria? It's Russia and China. And what is Iran? Iran, Iraq, and Russia are big suppliers of natural gas. And China is one of the biggest and growing consumers of natural gas. So clearly, they want that pipeline because that will open up the international market to cheap natural gas. Now the Jews don't want that because Qatar, like them, have access to it already. They already have access to European markets. So they want to keep that monopoly. So you're quite right to say that there is a link between the Syria conflict, the interest in the Syria conflict from people like Qatar, which who are, as you kind of implied, one of the major players in the sort of Islamic and Arabist side of the offense. And that kind of thing. So there is a link between all these different states in terms of resources, as well as ideology, as well as just intelligence interests as to what they envision in Syria. Because Syria is a major state. And for it to fall apart, it gives all sorts of opportunities to people. And even such a state as Qatar, which is tiny, but has huge resources, as you indicated.
Yes, and I just read something about if Syria falls, then there might be the opportunity with the next regime for the United States to put more missile batteries in to aim at Russia or something. I don't know. So, anyway.
Okay.
Thanks. That's all I had.
Okay, thanks,
okay.
Sherry. Okay, let's take Paul in New Jersey. Paul, welcome to the program.
Hello, Deanna. Hello, Carl.
Hello.
Hi.
I have two comments. For one, I think part of the conquest or attack on Syria is due to just vengeance for what happened in 2006 when Israel really got a drubbing in Lebanon and had to retreat. And I think the Israelis blame that on the influx of weapons through Syria.
Yeah, I would agree to an extent, yeah.
Yeah, so on a large geographical or geopolitical scheme, it's also to isolate Iran more from one of its major allies. But I think just vengeance, you know, and that goes along with their tribalism and a lot of their religious beliefs, you know, or ethnic beliefs,
yeah.
Really.
And well, they also want to, yeah, so again. I was going to say, it's also part of the thing they have, whereby they have this, I'm sure you've seen a map, of the Eretz Israel, Greater Israel. They often say, oh no, that's just part of Israel, that's Israel we got now. But no, the map suggests that they actually, that the Israel they want is what they call the Biblical Israel, which stretches to Iran, stretches through Syria, and so forth. So, it wouldn't surprise me if part of what the reason is, as you say, is vengeance, but it's also this very pragmatic political interest in there, because if they manage to get a regime in Syria they can do business with, then they've got a route into Iran. They've got an air corridor into Iran, which means they can strike Iran's nuclear reactor as they did with Iraq. Yes, it would be a problem, but it would be a potentially very, very risk rate, but Israel is very interested in using risky strategies because of its support with the U.S.,
Indeed. All righty, gentlemen, we are going to a 3-minute break. Paul, you're welcome to stay over if you have further questions or comments. We'll be right back in 3 minutes.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Listen up. This isn't some Detroit car commercial. And this isn't how we do it. Not in any America I know. We don't take away the rights and call it public safety. We don't burden folks with something called Obamacare and call it affordable. We don't take what you earn and call it a fair share. That's not America. That's not how it's done. In my country, in my America, earning has always been better than receiving. If that's what you believe, this is America, and we're about to show you how it's supposed to be done. Step up and be heard by participating at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. Join us and stand up for the America you know at AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. AmericanFreedomSurvey.com. That's how it's done. Now do it. You have a voice. Now use it.
For many years, coffee lovers have learned that for the freshest coffee, you need to roast your own beans. Unfortunately, that usually meant paying more per pound for coffee than you could get it at the local grocery. Those wanting to store rich coffee for long-term use have been frustrated with the lack of quality coffee available with a long shelf life. So we usually settle for brand-name coffee, either ground or instant. But now, we have another solution. Canned green coffee beans. Green coffee beans have not been roasted. And since the bean is not cracked yet, the shelf life is many years longer than roasted or ground coffee. Due to the way it's packed, you can expect these to stay fresh for 20-plus years. Go to CampingSurvival.com to order your canned green coffee beans. A single can is only $11.94. Order online today at CampingSurvival.com. Use code FREEDOM and receive 5% off. CampingSurvival.com. CampingSurvival.com.
With financial uncertainty circling the globe due to job losses, decline in the housing market, a climate of corruption, bailouts, currency rigging, and unfair competition, many are once more turning to precious metals as the only hedge against the uncertainty of the future. With the U.S. House conducting hearings on proposals to confiscate workers' personal retirement accounts, including 401ks and IRAs, this is the time to secure your assets. Call Republic Trading Group today, 800-691-7898, before this happens, and find out how easy it is to convert your existing IRA and, in some instances, your 401k plan into real wealth now. Don't let the ravages of hyperinflation caused by the massive increase of fiat currency now flooding world markets affect your retirement account. Call RTG at 800-691-7898 and experience the security and peace of mind that only real gold and silver can offer. That number again is 800-691-7898. Call now.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest is Carl Rattle. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And we still have Paul on the line. Paul, did you have another comment?
I actually have two. One is, I think the Israelis are playing a really dangerous game with the Syrian strategy, because if Assad falls, it could be a destabilized, hellhole with fighting jihadis and just a constant failed state right across their border where they'll get random missiles fired upon them from who knows whom. So it's really silly on them, and you can see Netanyahu basically said as much when he was asked the question about the chemical weapons falling into the hands of jihadis when he was in Britain a week ago. So he was almost alluding to they might backpedal on their strategy.
Or they might have to go in and sort out themselves if they dare. Because after you made a comment about Lebanon, you're right. They really hate it with Lebanon. But what you didn't mention, just briefly, is the fact that part of the reason they went into Lebanon, a big reason for it, was because Lebanon had really become, economically well off. It was doing quite well economically, and it was challenging Israel. What do? They go in there and they wreck the place. Because if it challenges Israel, the Israel economy is going to have a problem. Therefore, they can't pay for their military so easily. They have to get more money from the states. That's hard. Hard work. They have to lobby it, so forth. They have to pay lobbyists and so forth. Isn't it easier just to bomb your increasingly prosperous neighbor into submission by using Hezbollah as an excuse?
True, and that's what happened in Libya, strategy in Iraq. Whenever they become very westernized and very modernized, for some reason we like to destroy them. It's really disgraceful geopolitical strategy, especially when they profess tolerance and the expansion of Western values. One last item before I go. I just wanted to say that when we talk about the corporate media, I don't think the corporate media is corporate at all. I see it as an ethnic media. When you look at the four major American television networks, starting with CBS, run by Murray Rothstein, he is Jewish. When you look at ABC, it's run by Robert Iger, he is Jewish. When you look at NBC, it's run by, I think, Brian Roberts, he is Jewish. And when you look at Fox News, is run by Rupert Murdoch, according to Jewish rules. Matrilinearly, he is of Jewish descent, so that makes him also ethnically Jewish. This is a Jewish media, not a corporate media.
Oh, I agree with you. That's
We both agree, I think.
Yes.
And think of the likelihood of that they're just 3% of the population controlling the media as only one ethnic group, and that we allow this, and that there are not hearings in Congress concerning this. You know, if it was any other ethnic group running the media, whether it was, or let alone religious minority, like, let's say, the Amish running the media, there would be riots.
Considering they don't even have electricity in their homes, that would be kind of funny.
Actually, it would be very decent. I would only wish the Amish did run on media, because they're a decent, respectable people.
They are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right, on that note, thank you very much for tolerating me.
Thank you. That would be very interesting.
I just have an image now of the Amish running the media.
Yeah, it is very funny. Oh, my goodness. But they are wonderful people. I used to do some business with some of them down in Arthur, Illinois. And, I mean, they don't wear buttons. They don't have buttons on their clothes. They don't have electricity. They're just so honest. I can't imagine them even engaging in something so vile as the media.
Yeah, it's just interesting, really, isn't it? Just the fact that all of a sudden you take people away from what some people call Talmud vision, and all of a sudden they become quite relatively normalised. They become more interesting. They get an interest in literature. They get interested in other things, and all of a sudden they start, you know, behaving more intelligently, thinking more intelligently. They're not just thinking, oh, I've got to look at the game. I've got to look at the latest soap or what have you. It's kind of some people call it the idiot box, don't they?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. I was reading this morning. I can't think of the exact quote, but it was something like, the Jews really believe in the First Amendment until it comes to pornography. I think that's kind of appropriate here. Because honestly, when you turn on the TV, it is literally pornographic.
Mm-hmm. And think about it, all those years, I mean, when I was young, which isn't so long ago, I remember we used to have 18s on anything. It was, you know, you wouldn't have anything like what we have on television now, on television at all. It was, you know, the worst thing you'd see would be a bit of blood, maybe, you know, someone's torso or something. That's about the worst thing you'd see. Now, you see everything. It's like you can basically watch porn on primetime TV, if you so wish.
Exactly.
You don't have any super subscription or anything.
Right. But of course, going back to the First Amendment, you dare not say anything. You dare not question the Holocaust or anything like that. But it's okay. Pornography is great.
It just reminds me of an old adage they used to say about the anti-communist movement used to point out, which is you're allowed to do anything. If you're a communist, you're allowed to say anything about your opponents. Unless you're an anti-communist, all of a sudden you get persecuted for doing so, because it's liable. Because
indeed,
to call someone a communist is an insult. I mean, it's that kind of mentality of, I'm going, okay, you can, my friends can say what they want, but you say anything we want, well, you know, that's just not allowed. Jews are allowed to advocate murder, they're allowed to suggest that people be locked up for nothing more than saying something they don't like. I remember on Israel National Radio, because I'm actually an avid listener of Israeli radio, which is a little fact that I don't tend to tell people because people tend to interpret it the wrong way. I've had people call me Israeli before for doing that. But what I find interesting about it is that I was listening to a show about, must have been 3 years ago, on one of their shows, on their one of their radio stations, and it was this, it had this male host, and he was going on and about Pope Benedict, as was. And he was going, well, I hope he took a trip to Israel and so forth. And he was screaming abuse for about half an hour at the Pope. And I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. That this was on a mainstream Israeli media, and they were just shouting abuse at a Gentile for being a Gentile, in quotes, for serving in the Hitler Youth for all of 3 months or something. It's kind of, it's bizarre. And so the point where I actually recorded a lot of it and took it to a Catholic church and played it to them, and they were shocked. Because
oh,
it was just,
what a great idea!
Well, no, it worked quite well, actually. I've actually got it on a tape somewhere, I think. Just the fact it was, I just played it to them, and I think to a man, they were just at their poleaxed, because they couldn't conceive that another country would dare do that. Would allow that on a mainstream, you know, Israeli talk show. You'd have somebody screaming abuse at the Pope, saying, you know, he was evil, he was an evil Nazi. It was something like, it's like, you know, if you went to see the Pope, you were sucking on the gas fumes of Auschwitz. You know, it's the whole sort of shebang. I might actually try and sort of dig out for you. You might enjoy it.
Oh, it's amazing. And people really don't know what's in the Talmud. I was talking to a friend the other day and saying, well, do you know exactly what they think of the Christians? Do you know what they think about Jesus Christ? And she was aghast. Had no idea.
Absolutely no idea. You're not allowed to be told that, are you?
No. Alrighty, let's take another call. Let's take Lisa in Texas. Lisa, welcome to the program.
Hi, thanks for having me. Can you hear me okay? I'm on Skype.
Yes, that's good.
Great. Okay. Hi, Carl.
Hiya.
I just want, the big talk in the chat room today is about this. Have you heard of the Texas Israel Day that we are having here in Texas on
I know you probably have a Texas Israel Day. In New York, we have an Israel Day. It must be every month.
Every week, maybe, huh?
Pretty much.
I think this is the first of such thing here in Texas, and they're making a big to-do of it. In fact, they have a site, texasisrael.org. And I just wanted to read a sentence or two about what we're doing here in Texas. It says, this is a great opportunity for us to highlight the many opportunities Texas and Israel have to work together. Our greatest opportunity right now is in water management. The state realizes that we have a big problem, and Israel has invented the solution. Governor Perry, this is the kicker, Governor Perry has decided to take $2 billion from the Rainy Day Fund and spend it on upgrading water infrastructure in the state. They will, the day will primarily focus on educating our legislatures about Israel water technology, like stealing it from Jordanians. Before this legislative session ends. And it just, you know, so I just thought I'd give you a little tidbit.
I mean, that's interesting. It's interesting. The reason I say that's interesting is because do you, by chance, subscribe to the Israel Ministry of Foreign Affairs? Or were their little propaganda app? Podcast?
I do not. I think my mother got a copy one time.
It's worth doing. Why? Okay. Because you'll find they say basically the same thing. They say, oh, yes, Israel's water technology is leading the world. And she said, let's just steal it from Jordanians. Oh, yes, they don't need water. It's that kind of thing. You see it every single broadcast. Shimon Peres meets the PM of Azerbaijan. Why do we need to know this? for a start. And then you get the whole thing about spiel about Israeli technology. And that's the big thing. That's what they try and sell themselves on. They have this high technology economy and so forth. And this is nonsense. They're not that high technology. According to them, they invented everything, pretty much.
Right.
And it's that sort of mentality that goes into the water thing. And the water technology is something you frequently see on there, which is my point. And I just, another little thing I saw a little while back, it was to do with, I think it was Colorado Jewish News. It said, one of the articles had a sort of a subtext buried in it saying, Jewish, I think it was, community college or something, has decided to send Israel $100 million. I just sort of sat there for a minute and thought, well, what? They've decided to allocate Israel $100 million out of US money that they've gathered from whatever sources they've got. But if you allocate, if that's one group in Israel, that's one group in Colorado, how much money is flowing into Israel? And how much money is flowing in contracts? Because I'll give you an example from my own life. My father worked for McDonnell Douglas in, you know, the fighter plane and so forth, F-16 and so forth. Now, he mentioned to me something that happened to him in the 1980s, a while back. He said, well, when I was at McDonnell Douglas, this is before you doing what your current does, I was involved in the Israeli deals because they needed people who would be able to run the businesses to basically pay for the Israelis. Because what the US government told McDonnell Douglas in the 1980s was two things on two separate occasions. One, you must sell Israel your best jets, but you're not to take any money for them. You are to take Israeli holidays. So you have to sell these holidays, set up a company to sell these holidays, and then get rid of the companies. And on another occasion, it wasn't holidays. It wasn't prospective holidays that were being sold. It was oranges. So this massive US company is given thousands upon thousands of oranges, which it just has to do something with because the US government tells it has to do something with. I don't know of any other state which could do something like that. And it's the same as your water technology. It's just this constant nonsense of let's steal money from the Gentiles to fund Israel, to help Israel. Let's steal the technology. Let's give them random things that they don't need. Just for the hell of it. It's bizarre.
Amazing.
It is, you know, Texas is very Jewified and Zionized. I live in the midst of it, and it becomes sicker every day. So you may see me being dragged away on the news.
on the ethnic news?
Yes, I may be down there. This is one thing I may not be able to miss, and I'm gonna have to do something because I can't take it anymore. It's driving me crazy. So. Well, that's an interesting story, Carl. Thank you for that, and I appreciate you taking my call, Deanna. Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. All right, bye-bye. Let's take Rick in Arizona. Rick, welcome to the program.
Yeah, hello, people. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about her. Yeah, she's right. Texas has got pretty big-time Jewish influence. You go through back to some of the museums and the historical sites. There's a lot of Jewish names on the wall. I wanted to make one quick comment about these two bombers that everybody think are Muslims. Has anybody made the comment or come to the conclusion that these two guys look very Jewish?
Well, you know, they do, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
And
they do look
and Michael Jewish. Michael Savage, other than, you know, he's Jewish himself, said that the name Sarnav is transposed to Sarnoff, which is, if you know your history in the media, David Sarnoff, who was Jewish, started RCA and NBC.
Right.
I'm pretty sure these guys, they ain't no Muslims. These guys are Jewish, and if they're part of an acting career, whether this is fake or real, these guys ain't Muslims, okay?
Mm-hmm. Very perceptive.
Okay. You know, I wonder why I'm the only one that can come up with this conclusion on the Internet. Is everybody on the Internet a Jewish actor?
I don't think so.
You know? I mean,
Savage, what is his name? Weiner?
Michael Weiner.
Weiner.
Yeah, that's why they put him on 9 o'clock, because he talks too much. You know, he is Jewish, and he does, you know, when he's bitching about everybody, he's bitching about his buddies that he grew up with. But that's what he does, you know. And so, I can't believe it. The one guy looks like Bob Dylan, all right? And I don't understand why I'm the only one that thinks these guys look too Jewish to be Muslims. You know, that's my comment for today. Well, thanks a lot. See you later.
Thank you, Rick. You know, he's right. They do kind of look, especially the one with the curly hair and all. And they've been known to do this before, to pose as Arabs, frequently, actually.
And what was Operation Laval? Lavon in 1950s.
Yes.
It was Jews bombing Israel, bombing Egypt, pretending to be British targets in Egypt, so that the Egyptians would be blamed, the Muslim Brotherhood would be blamed, so that the British would do what the Jews wanted them to do.
Exactly. Well, the same with the USS Liberty on June 8th of 67. Yep. You know, the Israelis bombing the USS Liberty and blaming Egypt for it.
And they're still trying to dispute it to this day.
Exactly.
Which I find to be quite disgusting. The fact is, you bombed it. No one in their right mind says Israel didn't bomb that. And bomb that thing. All they claim is, oh yes, we thought it was something else. Well,
sure.
If you're such a wonderful military, how can you mistake your ally's ship for a highly sophisticated spy ship for being an enemy trawler?
Indeed. Alrighty, we have a 3-minute break. We'll be right back.
These annoying collection calls.
Imagine being free from your debt without settling and with no payment plan, no negotiating or filing bankruptcy, and no attorneys. What if you could eliminate the risk from all your unsecured debt in about 90 days and keep all your money? You can. It's called Zero Debt Guarantee, and it works. There's no other program of its kind on the planet, and we guarantee the results in writing. Call now. 800-477-9256. Let our team of experts provide you with resources to fight back, stop collection calls, and prevent and stop wage garnishments and bank levies. If you're facing foreclosure, we can help. Don't go it alone. Get free information now by calling 800-477-9256. Talk to an expert who has also completed our program. Call 800-477-9256 for free info or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com. That's 800-477-9256 or go to ZeroDebtGuarantee.com.
If you would like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself from anything out of bounds concerning cardiovascular or diabetic circulation problems, then this might be the most important ad you'll ever hear. It is possible to acquire a 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation, which works. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. For a long and healthy life, order today by calling 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Order online at heartandbody.com. That's heartandbody.com.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us at 1-877-605-9200.
Welcome back. This is Deanna. Our guest today has been Carl Rattle. He is the author of Communism and the Jews, a source reader. His website is SemiticController.blogspot.com. And we have a couple of email comments or questions. This is from Dan in Santa Barbara. He said, it seems to me, looking at the map, that Israel wants to control all the land between the Euphrates and the Nile, and will probably never stop their aggressive stances against any and all nations that stand in the way of that end vision.
Yeah, well, it's true. It's the very cornerstone of Zionist ideology. Basically, that's what never again means. Never again means very simply, we Jews will never ever stop in the face of an opponent again. We will never go quietly, is the idea. And very simply, it means that they will kill, do anything, or deal with anyone who will help them achieve that goal. That's why they dealt with Iran. That's why they'll deal with China. That's why they'll deal with the Christian fundamentalists in the US. Anyone. As long as it achieves their goals, they don't care.
Right,
and they will roll over anyone. That's what they'll try and do at some point.
Exactly. You're referring to Kuhaini's comment, Never Again. His
Kuhaini's
book.
No, not Kuhaini's. Kahane, you mean Kahan?
Oh, right. Yeah.
So Kahane, sorry, yes. So yeah. No, Kahane is merely an expression of a much wider comment. He is most radical, one of the most radical, but he is, in a sense, only representative because he came from the Kuk seminary. It's named after Avraham Kuk, one of the great rabbis of the Zionist movement. And he is the founder of most modern settler groups. Extreme Zionist ideology bases itself basically on all the Kud, all settler ideology bases itself on Kuk, on what he said, on his interpretations, and so forth. But basically, Kuk basically said, it's time for war. We're going to go take back the world, is their idea, because the Jews, according to Judaism, rule the world, or should do, when the Messiah turns up. What Zionism says is, well, it doesn't matter if we start early, does it? We can be our own Messiah.
Right.
And that is why the Jews want to invade everyone, and why they do.
Whether they do it militarily or, excuse me, by infiltrating in governments as they have in this country.
Yeah. Because, yes, you can't just invade everyone. That's why they failed before, isn't it?
Sure. Sure. There's another comment from Joel. He says, and he's talking about the war in Vietnam. He says, my numbers agree with your numbers. 269 Jews killed out of a total of well over 58,000 deaths. Jew death rate would be 0.46%. And then we think of all of the warfare in Israel against Palestinians, and it seems that all they are doing is killing children, which doesn't say much for their courage and their bravery to me.
No, it doesn't. And if you look further, I've commented on World War One, both sides, and in Iraq and Afghanistan as well. Jews are not overrepresented. In fact, they're massively underrepresented among both the amount of combatants and interesting, World War One in particular, the amount receiving medals.
Oh, yes. They're good on giving medals to themselves, aren't they?
Yes.
Excuse me. Well, it's been wonderful, as usual, having you on the program, Carl. And
thank you.
We look forward to having you back soon.
Okay, I'll be happy to come back.
All righty. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, listeners. Talk with you on Monday. Have a great weekend.